Hey guys, Barney here with a little update. I want to give a quick thanks to AB Universe for sponsoring The Big Top. Taking over production responsibilities has been a huge undertaking, and I'm extremely grateful to have such a fantastic sponsor, whose products I have used for years and can personally vouch for. You can now use my promo code BIGTOP to get 10% off your order at abuniverse.com. That's abuniverse.com. Thanks again to ABU for sponsoring this podcast. That's amazing, Jeremy, but I'm going to go home now and fart into a shoebox. And welcome to The Big Top, or should I say, my clown car. In this special episode, I am back on the road, this time by myself. I had planned to get people's opinions on the Manchester scene and possibly on being clowned, but naturally, I forgot, because clown brain. So the episode kind of takes on a life of its own with sporadic updates in my car. There's mic issues. It's a whole adventure. So I'm going to shut up now and get to the goods because this is a particularly long one. But I'm dying to hear from you at thebigtop.pod@gmail.com. That's thebigtop.pod@gmail.com. I want to hear your stories, your hopes, dreams. Also, tell me what you want to hear. Send in suggestions because this is your podcast too. Today, the circus travels from just outside London all the way to Manchester, down to Brighton and back. And I invite you to join me as we go under the Big Top. Hello, is this recording? I think this is recording. Either we are recording or we are not, and I'm just talking to myself, so hang on. Yes, we are recording. Okay. Cool. Hello, Big Top listeners. This is Barney coming to you from the road. We are in the car. It's just me today. And I'm heading up to Manchester for some buffoonery. And I thought it might be fun to record an episode just detailing my adventures because I thought that would be fun and different. So I haven't really planned anything. Obviously, I don't have anything written down because I'm driving currently. We are on the motorway. And I got a little widget for my phone. So don't you worry. It's all very safe. My phone is stuck to my windshield and is telling me where to go whilst also recording my dulcet tones. So, yeah. And also, it's a long drive to do by oneself, or at least, sorry, if you're listening in America, I'm sure this is a very short drive, but this is a very long drive for me. This is like a good 4 hours, and I will probably stop for lunch. So, if the traffic holds up, we're looking at maybe, let's say, 5 hours total, but I'm giving myself 6 just to be safe. So you'd think that I would plan things well, but of course, this is me we're talking about. So, like, by now you should know clown brain doesn't really think more than 5 days in advance. So I'm always meaning to go to Manchester because it's theoretically right on my doorstep, and it is like the kink hub of the UK. It's where all the kinksters have moved. Every other person that I meet at some London event has come down from Manchester, where there's like stuff going on all the time. And in the centre of Manchester is the Gay Village, which is literally just, you know, exactly what it sounds like. So all of the fetish people kind of congregate there because it's a very queer-friendly area. And because it's on my doorstep, I'm always like, oh yeah, well, I can go there anytime. Like, I'll see XYZ whenever. Let me plan to go abroad to go to events. So I'm always going to Berlin, and, you know, I'm always looking at, like, what's going on in America or on the continent, whatever. And I just never, ever think to go anywhere in the UK. So my little pup Fidget, who was on last season, he lives in Reading and is now moving to Manchester. So he's currently there, and I've got a few people there that I've been meaning to see. And also, every time I go, it's always for like a weekend. So I was there for MRM last year, and then I went again literally just for a week. It was around Doggy Weekend where we recorded the last time in the car with Scritch. And I just, I can't seem to fit everyone in because there's so many people that I want to see while I'm there, and I always want to meet new people as well. So this time I'm giving myself a week, and still I'm kind of like double booking myself, but I'm just going to try and like play things by ear and hopefully get to see everybody that I wanted to see. I'm going to go see Fidget and stay with him and
Pop Harvard
and meet somebody that I'm quite excited to meet, because I've never met like a proper slave before, and that was something that I didn't really think I would want or be into. But they're very into humiliation, and they really want to do the clown play and some piggy stuff and things like that. So I think that'll be quite fun. It'll be nice to meet them. And then spend some time with Fidget, and then hopefully get to see a few friends and goof around with a few new people as well, because there's a few people who want to get clowned. And yeah, I think that would be super duper cool. This is so stream of consciousness. My yay for the day just popped into my head, and I feel like I'm going to do it now because this is not going to be a normal episode. I think I'm going to try and see who's cool with appearing on this episode and just talking about like what it's like in Manchester and what the scene is like, and also what maybe the experience getting clowned for the first time is. Because a few people have I have the anonymous question thing that you can send me anonymous questions. It's on my Twitter. It's very easy to find if you just look in my media, but I love answering those. Those are really, really fun. And a lot of those questions have been about people being curious to try clowning and asking either how they can get into it or how they can approach me about it, or, you know, if they're shy, what to say and stuff like that. So I thought it'd be cool to maybe see if I can get some people's opinions on what that's like. But we'll see how that goes. My yay for the day. I've got loads of yays actually recently. I normally kind of struggle for one. But recently I've got so many. So one of them I want to shout out just right now, because I was just thinking about it off the top of my head, and that is their support clown on Instagram. I'm gonna link his stuff. I've forgotten his name because it clown brain, but he seems really, really cool. He is a clown, and when I say a clown, I mean he's like a pro clown, but he's kind of he's doing something really cool. He's doing this project where online he's basically doing a fundraiser, and what this is all working towards is he's creating clown licenses, and that it's so stupid and pointless and wonderful and brilliant and full of joy and like fun. And the thing I like most about it is how open and accepting it is. He's like, at the end of the day, everyone's a clown. Everybody has this thing in them. Being silly is brave, and if you want a clown license, you can get a clown license. You know, what type of clown you are doesn't matter. So he's like, there are drag clowns that have these. There are horror clowns, like Haunted House Halloween clowns. And then he's saying all the different types. He's like, are you a mime? Are you a clown in your day-to-day life? You know, do you even wear a red nose? Doesn't matter. You get a clown license. You know, there's like punk clowns, and there's music clowns, and there's circus clowns or birthday clowns or whatever. And then he was like, and then there's the sexy clowns. You know, there's the kinky clowns, the freaky clowns. You're all valid too. You can have a clown license. And I was just like, fuck yeah, this is cool. And I don't know, clearly he gets a lot of crap from like, I don't know, stuffy old traditionalists. He calls them cigar clowns. Apparently they stink of cigars. But, you know, just people being like, oh, clowns on the internet, you're ruining, you know, the art of clowning, which is like so antithetical to the whole point of clown. Clown is sort of supposed to be the art of pure freedom and emotional expression and connectivity. And so the traditions are, you know, it's great to honor traditions. They're there for a reason. You know, people made them a thing. But that doesn't mean you have to adhere to them. Traditions change, and you can shake shit up, and you can be your own kind of clown, and there are no rules. You know, there's not meant to be any rules in art. And so I think, especially clown, is like, clown is supposed to be subversive and punky and weird and stupid and whatever you want it to be. And it can be very, very kid-friendly and colorful and light and silly. Or it can be very cutesy, or it can be very dark and twisted, or it can be very sad. You can have a sad clown. You know, there's, like, the hobo clown has become kind of its own thing outside of character clowns. So I don't want to talk too much about clowns. Now I'm being like a clown nerd. But I think this is all cool. And I've shouted out Red Nurse Factory before just because, you know, look, I'm a clown nerd now anyway. And I think the Red Noses are cool. And Chad Stender, who makes them, is a cool dude doing cool stuff. And so, obviously, there's crossovers with all of these accounts because they all promote each other's stuff. But go check out Support Clown, because I also commented being like, fucking, like, I think I just said honk, but whatever. He speaks clown, he gets it. Yeah, I just thought that was really cool to be like, yeah, some people are kinky, weird, freaky clowns, and that's totally fine. Like, clowning can also just be for adults. Clowning can also just be a sex thing in the bedroom. You can be a fetish clown. That's totally valid. And I think I especially thought that my clown, my version of clown, was very, yeah, I don't know. I always felt like, oh, I'm bastardizing an art because I think it's sexy. And obviously I appreciate the art because, like, dude, I went to drama school. Like, I used to be an actor. I have done clown. And I used to avoid it like the plague, but I kind of got into it when I was studying. Just because it is cool and it's a really cool art form. But I think my avoiding it of the plague was, like, I didn't want to mix. You know, I didn't want there to be any association. It felt very uncomfortable to me to be like, this thing that I find sexy, I don't want to associate with the vanilla side. Because, I don't know, what if people found out that I thought parts of it were sexy? I don't know, whatever. But yeah, that was very validating. So thank you, Support Clown. And guys, go get a clown license. I haven't got mine yet, but I intend to. So go get a clown license. Anybody can have a clown license. I also think that, you know, not to, like, try and spam Support Clown with perverts, but I think that, like, so much of kink is clown. I've said this before, that I think puppies are basically just clowns, but they're clown dogs, you know what I mean? Like, not to say that every puppy is like a circus dog, but there are so many similarities, and I think the core of what you're doing, like, being vulnerable and silly by dressing up in a colorful costume, like, you put on that pup hood, that to me is very performative in a way. I think that is like a type of clown. It's just like a dog clown. And same for, someone's in trouble. Same for like furries. I mean, furries are so cartoony and silly, and like playing with cartoon proportions, it's so clowny to me. So hey, if you're a pup or a furry who kind of feels like you identify with some aspects of clown, go get a clown license. Go support the Kickstarter, and I'll put all the links in the show notes. I think I'm gonna stop talking because I've kind of run out of brain. Oh, but I'm hitting traffic now. 6 minuten. Okay. 6 minutes worth of traffic. I can handle that. I can handle it. Does anyone else have a fascination with, like, clowns that are characters in media? Like, I always get so excited when I see them, but, like, the Joker is a very fascinating character to me. But also, Marvel Comics obviously has, you know, their own. There's, like, the clown, and Obnoxio the clown, and the jester, and the juggler, and all these things. Hey, if you're a juggler, I once saw a juggling show. I cannot remember the name of these guys. It was two guys, and they were really funny, and it was really, really fun. But their whole show was like, we're just jugglers. That's all we are. We're just jugglers. We like to do cool juggling shit, and we play around with what we can juggle and stuff. And they did a whole thing about the drop. Like, as a juggler, you will drop your thing that you're juggling. That is inevitable. And it happens. And it happens while you're performing on stage in the show. And how do you turn that into part of the show and get over it. And then it set up the expectation so that when they did, inevitably, there was like a little drop, then the audience was so on their side with it. And like, you know, we laughed kind of through it with them, and then we're cheering them on when they did it again and didn't drop it. But anyway, they had collected a bunch of responses. They just interviewed random people and they played this clip. And they were like, what is a juggler? Because they felt that they were a subset of something else, that there were all different types of performers that juggle, and people don't often see juggling as its own thing, or jugglers as its own thing. So, which just reminded me that, yes, Support Clown accepts juggalos for clown licenses. Go get your clown license. fucking clown brain. Get back on track. Jugglers. Yeah, so a lot of these responses were like, well, a juggler is a clown. And they were like, we don't really see ourselves as clowns because we're not clowning, we're just juggling. But like half the people called them clowns. But then loads of people were like, oh, they're like circus performers, or they're like acrobats, or they're like, you know, it was always something else. People found it hard to just summarize them as somebody who juggles, which I thought was quite interesting. I think for all of my like spending my early life being worried that kinky clowning wasn't valid or was somehow insulting to quote-unquote real clowns, rural clowns, but you know what I mean, like professional clowns, circus clowns, that kind of thing. I think this is a very universal feeling. I think even jugglers are in the same boat. I think juggalos are in the same boat. They like clown shit. It's just not the clown shit that you normally think of when you think of clown. Okay, also, not to, please don't spam me with horror clowns, but I am kind of getting into that aesthetic more. I saw a creator, I think it was through the Red Nose Factory, just promoting all the cool people who buy their noses, called The Dali, and I was like blown the fuck away. They do like horror clown stuff, from what I can see on the old Insta, but I don't know. I liked a lot of, I mean, very appreciative of the art. There was a lot of like cosplay elements and drag elements and makeup artistry elements and like special effects makeup kind of elements. You know, the horror clown is not really my vibe sexually, but I don't know. It was very, very cool. And I really liked some of the stuff. Very cool outfits. Go check out The Dali, I guess. Also, clown update. This is the clowniest episode I've done, maybe. And I'm not even dressed as a clown, which I have done. Holy fuck, I kept seeing David Arquette. Now that I'm back on Instagram, I'm, you know, finding all the clowns. And David Arquette, who, okay, I'm also a horror film buff, nerd, whatever. So Scream is, like, precious to me, and I absolutely love David Arquette. What the hell? He keeps popping up wearing clown noses. And I'm like, huh? And he's trying on a bunch of the Red Nose Factory noses. And he's got pro noses glued to his face. And he's taking pictures in a big red nose, reading books on clown makeup. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? What's going on here? Then I see him, like, with a bunch of Bozo memorabilia. And I'm like, what? Did David Arquette decide to become a clown? Like, what? Later in life, David Arquette's just like, I'm gonna become a clown. I, like, no idea. Obviously, I've not got the context because I'm just seeing the Instagram posts and I'm trying to get to the source. And then I see there's an account, The Real Bozo, like The Real Bozo the Clown. And it's David Arquette dressed as Bozo the Clown. And I'm very confused. Does he just love Bozo the Clown? Like, what's going on? Wah, wah, wah. And so I looked it up. David Arquette, if you didn't know, has purchased the rights. I don't think this is news, actually. I think this might have been a few years ago, but he has purchased the rights to the character Bozo the Clown, which, if you didn't know, is like a public, you know, there's not one Bozo. It's I guess it's sort of like, you could compare it to Ronald McDonald or something, but whatever. So you know, there was the original Bozo, but like it's a character in American media. And whatever, the character wasn't being used. He acquired the rights to Bozo the Clown and plans to bring the character back. And so I don't know if that's him as Bozo from now on, like that's what he is planning to do, or if he's planning to do some other kind of TV project or film project or I don't know, curating project and find a new Bozo. I don't know. But it looks like he is planning on just being Bozo the Clown from now on, which, among being dope, cool, fun, silly, wacky, and as discussed, those things are all brave and cool, and I think that's why we like them, or at least why I like them. It's also sexy. I wouldn't say he's, you know, got the look down. He's, you know, the makeup isn't, you know, he's trying things out. But it is just hot to me when someone's willing to do that, and especially somebody that I idolize and think is cool is willing to do that. I think that's very sexy. So, David Arquette, who, to me, has never been a sex symbol, I'm sure to plenty of people he has suddenly become a sex symbol because he's dressing as Bozo the Clown. And I think that's very sexy. There's also, like, I don't know, like, maybe my dad fetish is kind of coming in here, where it's like, he is an old, I mean, he's not old, but, like, he's an older guy dressing up as a clown, and that does a lot of things for me. I don't know, it's very cool. David Arquette is Bozo the Clown, what the fuck? Yay, no more traffic, I'm not stuck in traffic anymore. Ooh, should we turn this into the singing podcast? Sing a song. Thought I was done with traffic. The car in front of me, I'm gonna put them on blast. They keep putting on their hazard lights when they're slowing down. Oh, I wonder if their brake lights are out. Well, if their brake lights are out and they know that they're out and they're using their hazard lights, that's, I think, illegal. But okay, like, they keep doing it every time they slow down, and we're not going very fast. I guess we're on the motorway, but we're not going fast, whatever. I'm really enjoying talking at you. I wanted to say talking to you, but nobody can stop me. Nobody can rebut me. Nobody can interrupt me. And clearly, I'm such a fucking narcissist. Pick a lane! That was my road rage. I thought it'd be funny to yell. It wasn't that funny. And also, this guy... No, seriously, pick a lane. Why? Massive lorry. But he's straddling two lanes. I'm not quite sure why. Oh, I have directions. Okay, I'm gonna go. I will check in with you soon. Okay. Oof. Good morning. Wow, I am not awake. Ugh. I am back in the car, but I'm not moving yet because... Oh, hello, Mr. Magpies. I salute you. Good morning. God, this week has just flown by so quickly. I feel like I knew this would happen, that I would arrive and then just start going with the flow, and I keep talking about recording this episode with people and then just never getting around to doing it. So while I have like a moment of clarity, I'm going to get some recording in and just update on the things. Got to Manchester, which is always super, super fun. Met this lovely little slave, which was super, super lovely. Had the absolute best time clowning around. Stayed in a hotel in the south, and then went and met with my fidget, which was fun. He came to the hotel, and then I went and I'm staying with him at
Pup Arvid's,
which is very lovely of him. And yeah, just had fun, clowned around. Then we went to ABU. So it was great. I got to see the ABU boys. Shout out to Crib and Marcus. Hopefully I can see them again before I leave. But that was super fun. Picked up some dipes. Yeah, and then we went to the Imperial War Museum, which was really good. Amazing exhibit on the Troubles, which I didn't expect. The whole thing's really, really, really good. But they have this new exhibit on the Troubles, which I feel like it's so crazy that people are still calling it the Troubles, because that really downplays it. It just makes it sound so light, and it's anything but. So that was fun. And then last night we went to the 14th birthday pub quiz at the Eagle, hosted by Lola Lasagna, who was fucking hilarious. It's such a great time. We went there with some crinkle butts, and that was super, super fun. Got to see some of the goobers. And I finally met a lovely guy I'd been chatting to who works there. He was working there, and it was really cool to meet him. So everybody's trying to convince me to stay a little bit longer, because what Fidget didn't tell me is that this weekend is the Eagles' 14th birthday. And so there's loads of events going on, not just at the Eagle, but like there's a lot going on at the Eagle. And I really like it there. I really like the Eagle. I've spoken before about how the Eagle here is really, really nice. Yeah, and so, hold on, I'm going to charge the phone. Yeah, and so because of that...
God damn it, and I just lost some of the recording because I'm an idiot. Anyway, as I was saying, yeah, so because of that, I was talking to Fidget about, you know, what's going on, and if we're going to be doing stuff, I want to bring my clown leather, because it's, like, the perfect weather for it, and it's also, like, while my rubber's still being mended, you know, I'd like to debut, because I didn't get to debut it last time I was here, and everything. And I was like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I packed a lot because he wanted me to bring a lot of things. And, you know, it all takes up space, big belly and the big shoes and the big gloves. And, you know, it's just, it's a lot. So I was like, should I bring my clown leather? Like, if we're going to be going out and doing stuff, that's what I would want to wear. And he's all like, oh, no, I don't think we'll be doing that much. Cut to, you know, everything is apparently happening this weekend. So, yeah, no, I don't know. The plan currently is to see about going to Manx Bound. I've gotten to meet up with some goofballs and get silly and think that there's just a couple of people that I would like to see, so I'm going to try and coordinate meeting up at Manx Bound tonight, and then I think just try and have a chill day. I think I'm going to go see Pup Pacer in the day, but yeah, I think Manx Bound would be really fun, and I want to clown up for it, because everyone's like, oh, we want to see the clown, like, you should totally do it, and everyone's trying to convince me to, like, stay for Locked, and I really, really want to. Last time I was here at Locked, I had so much fun, and Pup Bellis, who was hosting, was such a great host, and there was the spinning wheel, and there's the pillory on stage, and he got me on stage to pie people in the face, and it was so much fun. I did bring pies with me. I wonder if they would allow them at Manx Bound. Maybe I can bring them. But yeah, anyway, I've only really got my jumpsuit, and I didn't bring a jockstrap to wear with it, so yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I guess I'm kind of just going with the flow and seeing what happens. I don't think I can stay for Locked, because I'm then going to go to Brighton to clown around and also do some clown suit making, so I don't know. I could stay an extra day and maybe change my plans, but that just feels like not a good idea. Also, because everything costs money and I don't have money, and I should probably head home. I also have to do some like boring admin work stuff today, which I didn't anticipate doing. So yeah, I don't know. Oh my god, though, crazy. Okay, my voice is always like this in the morning. I haven't had coffee. I haven't brushed my teeth. The reason I'm up and in the car is just I have to keep moving the car, just so that I don't get a ticket. But fuck, I was talking about how Bozo has been, like, the rights to Bozo have been bought out by David Arquette, and that has, like, blown my mind. Can't believe it. So fucking cool. What does this mean? Follow him on Instagram. Guess who followed me on Instagram last night? Yes, there's nothing currently on my Instagram because I'm so afraid of getting suspended again for no fucking reason. They still never gave me a reason or spoke to me about it, so I'm just, you know, whatever. And I don't know if I mentioned that I got suspended within 5 days, again, even though there's nothing on my profile. I doesn't mention fetish, doesn't mention anything. Somehow I get suspended. There's nothing on there. I'm so pissed. And they immediately lifted it, which is like, okay. But they can just take it away at any point. And ended up fucking deleting my account, so fuck that. Anyway, David Arquette, as Bozo the Clown, follows me on Instagram, and I know that, like, it's just because I'm a clown account, I guess, but, like, oh my god, this is, like, one of my idols, as an actor, like, back when I was doing that, like, this is so cool, and then also now he's Bozo, and that's, like, I don't know how to feel about that, it's very confusing to me, it's very sexually confusing to me, and, yeah, you know, I guess he's following clown accounts and getting into clown shit, but also, like, he doesn't follow many people, so I thought that was cool. And, you know, whatever. I don't care if, you know, it wasn't him who did it. That's still very, very cool to me. And very, very validating to be like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Bozo the Clown really wants to be following a sex clown. And if I do end up being able to post more about what I actually do on Instagram, maybe that'll change, which is fair enough. But, like, that's very cool and validating and makes me very happy. I'm sure he has no idea he even did it, but whatever. I didn't know about this weekend being such a big weekend for the Eagle, and I'm kind of gutted because the actual birthday is on Sunday, so I wish I could stay, but I definitely can't stay for that. And I think I will just go back tomorrow, which is Saturday. But yeah, this has been basically my little, like, come with me on a road trip and hear about my adventures, which, as per usual, is a bit half-cocked, half-baked, not really thought through, bit last minute, bit chaotic. But hey, that's what being under the big top is all about, right? We're just chatting about things as they are and how they feel. I need to fucking have a coffee and wake up. Hopefully I'll get some sound bites from some people or I'll get a guest on. I still don't know. This episode is like forming itself. But yeah, I will see you all at the next update. Honk honk. I'm going to put this in now instead of editing and post like a professional. In addition to losing some of the recording, basically I plugged in my phone in the car and that stopped the recording, which meant I was just talking to myself and didn't realize it wasn't recording. But apparently having it plugged in also massively affected the audio, so sorry that that was a garbled nonsense. I'll try and be better about that. Welcome to Sleepy Time. This is Barney's brain doesn't work and he's showing his ass and being an unprofessional clown. Why can't I be heard? I don't understand.
Okay, I don't know what's going on with this recording, but it seems like my mic is back to normal now. Well, you know, I'd like to see all the stars aligned. We could have solved the mystery. Oh, hello, people. I was getting so frustrated because I don't know what happened. My mic just kind of stopped working, and I couldn't figure out why. I thought it might be dusty or something. And unplugging it and restarting everything, it just wasn't working. And I was so confused. I was like, oh, my mic just broke. What the fuck? And then I go back into the apartment, and it's working fine. So I don't know what happened. I guess maybe it connected to the Bluetooth. I don't know. This is what you want to hear, isn't it? This is good podcasting. Oh, fucking hell. sorry, guys. Back in the car we are. I'm going to drive Arvid to ABU. So we'll go see the ABU boys again. And who knows, maybe record with them. Oh, let's try not to crash the car while we record. I do a lot of experiments on this podcast. There's a lot of experimentation. And I just figured out right now that it is indeed the... Oh, cunt. Go cunt yourself. Sorry. It is indeed the Bluetooth that was fucking up my mic. So, the mic is fine. Woohoo! Let's just not connect to the Bluetooth by accident. Alright, let's go pick up Arvid and go get him some pamps. I'm going to stop recording because clearly I'm not focusing properly and I need to drive. Well, hello there! I hope everybody can hear me. I will probably just check the audio on this in a second. Welcome back to the Car Diary. That's just what this episode has become, I guess. The end of my time in Manchester. I've just left, just gotten onto the motorway, and yeah, this didn't turn out to be a guest episode, really. Yet again, I just got caught up in all the fun. So yeah, just welcome to my Car Diary. I hope that this is interesting. I know I do a lot of experimentation on this podcast, but I hope these kinds of funky little quirky things pay off. Let me just check the audio. Okie dokie! So it appears that the audio is all good. You can hear me, and I can hear nothing but myself because I'm once again doing this journey alone. Actually, I'm heading... So, okay, update. Last night was really, really awesome. I had such a wonderful time. I really didn't think I was going to, actually. Not that I thought I wouldn't have fun, but just, you know, I think it's always the times that you don't expect to have fun that the fun sneaks up on you. Yeah, so I wanted to quickly talk about clowning in public specifically, but, you know, this is like fetish in public in general. I was talking earlier about how it was really cool to get followed by David Arquette as Bozo the Clown. We will see how long that lasts. And yeah, I also really like it when I get followed by pro clowns because, I don't know, you know, just like when a professional clown, whatever their thing is, whatever their shtick is, follows me, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, so you kind of, I don't know, you know what's up. Like, you know, sometimes they're open about it and they're like, oh, hey, yeah, I also do sort of kink clowning. But that's very, very rare for an active clown, because obviously you want to, you know, keep a professional life separate. But it is interesting. Anyway, that was nothing to do with what I wanted to talk about. But I think there's a lot of discourse about, you know, people being padded in public and whether it's obvious or visible. And it's like, yeah, you should just be able to be yourself. You should be able to wear what you want in public. And it should be no big deal. Everyone should just mind their own fucking business. Like, you should be able to be padded visibly in public. It's not a consent issue, you know, for strangers, because they're not engaging in play. It's just, yep, okay, that's that person, I can look away. You know what I mean? Like, that line does get crossed depending on the situation. If you're sort of, you know, forcing someone to engage with you in a way they don't want to, obviously that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about, like, you know, people being out in gear. Like, it should be normalized that you're allowed to, because also for somebody to say that it's you're being provocative or sexual, it's like, that's your opinion, you know, it's, that's not an objective fact, and you're putting an intention onto an item of clothing. Like, I don't know, I society is so weird about nude bodies when there's really no fucking reason for it, and I quite like that. You know, you can be naked in San Francisco. I'm definitely going to try that next time I'm there, just because people minding their business. That's how it should be. There's nothing alarming or grotesque or shocking about the human body. We're just animals. It's our natural state. Like, what the hell? That's not an intention thing. And also with kink, it's just like, you know, it kind of also comes into slut shaming. It's just like, don't blame someone, like, someone's dress. Their choice of dress was their choice of dress. It's got nothing to do with, like, you know, whatever. Anyway, I just think if we can normalize that more. Because also, like, in Berlin, I mean, hey, Folsom takes place in a largely residential area, and it's like, nobody gives a fuck. They're not like, think of the children. It's like, the children can see somebody in a puppy mask and be like, cool mask, bro, that's nice, okay. The adults are doing their, you know, weird fun stuff, whatever. It doesn't sexualize the kid, it doesn't involve them, it doesn't groom them. Obviously, everybody knows this, I'm preaching to the choir, but whatever. It's just, I don't know. My thoughts are not, hey, we aren't here to be perfect. But yeah, so going out in my clown makeup to me feels very exposing, very nerve-wracking, very genuinely terrifying. And so this is the third time I've done it. The first time was at MRM, so the first time I was in Manchester. But that was literally just a short walk with me and a bunch of other clowns. You know, we're in a group, and yeah, it was daylight, there were families, there were kids, you know, but it was such a short walk, and all they saw was a bunch of clowns. So, you know, it was totally whatever. I could just feel eyes on me, and that makes me really nervous, because this, to me, is such a personal thing. And then I went with a few friends to Riposte in London, which is like a queer art rave, which was fun. But yeah, I mean, we Ubered there and back, which I was kind of happy about. But there was still, you know, sort of a short walk in which I was in clown makeup, and that felt very exposing and nerve-wracking. Even sitting in an Uber with an Uber driver felt very, like, I don't know. I guess, like, it is normal. It's not often you see someone with clown makeup on, but it's like, it's kind of like, it felt like being in drag, you know, like, I mean, my clown drag. It's like, people would assume that I'm working or going to a costume party or whatever, and nobody would question those things if you just walk around with confidence. People are like, oh, there's a clown. Like, you know, whatever. So, I'm getting more confident. And so last night I went to Manx Bound, and it was, Fidget just got a job at the Eagle. This was his first shift there. So he went to go to work, and I put my clown makeup on, and I walked just in clown makeup and like regular clothes and got changed into the rest of my getup there. But every time I caught myself in a reflective surface, I actually made myself laugh just like seeing my funny face on. And I don't know, I was kind of, I had the horse blinkers on, you know, the blinders. I was just kind of hoping not to look anyone in the eye or catch anyone's attention. I'm sure people were, you know, it gave them a smile or a laugh, or maybe they were freaked out and stepped away from me or whatever. But yeah, just, or they thought I was in drag or going to a costume party or whatever, you know. or doing a birthday job or something. I don't know. It just, yeah, very nerve-wracking every time I do stuff like this. And so that was a cool experience, walking there and back. Of course, by the end of the night, I don't really care, but... Yeah, so the event was Manx Bound, which I've put my head in before, and it didn't look amazing. But this was really, really fun. I planned to get tied up, and in the end, the guy who was going to tie me just didn't feel up for it. And I'm glad that he didn't, because I was having so much fun just chilling. I made a couple new friends with some really nice people at the bar. You know, the clown look is always a big hit, even if I didn't have my whole getup. I chose not to do the jumpsuit. I just did, like, jockstrap, clown, big shoes, gloves, makeup, hat, nose, whatever. I wanted to be comfortable and stuff in case I did get tied up. And, yeah, you know, I felt it read more fetishy, and people are asking questions, and people are interested, and... So there was somebody else who I've been talking to for, yeah, I mean, maybe a decade or so. It's one of those. We've been chatting on, like, UMD and stuff, and he's been kind of in the periphery. We've sort of had similar parallel journeys. And he was like, look, I'd love to meet you. Could I get the training, come to this event, and meet you for a drink? And then like, because he didn't want to dive right in, which is... totally my vibe. So I said yes. However, of course, Manx Bound was a great opportunity for me to, like, tick a few people off the list. So, you know, there was a few people that I'd been meaning to see who were there, and it was nice to see them and catch up. But it just meant that, like, I get there and I'm chatting away to friends, making new friends, whatever. And oops, all of a sudden he's texting me, and I had my phone in my jockstrap, and I wasn't even thinking. And I realized he'd been waiting for me for fucking ages. So I felt really, really bad. I ran upstairs and we had a drink. And he came down, and he was super chill about it all. And it was really, really nice to meet him. And they gave me the go-ahead to do pies, which I wasn't sure they were going to let me do. I asked, like, somebody who was working on the bar. I texted him before I left. And he was like, oh, I don't know who to ask. Just ask the organizer. So I asked the guys on the way in, and they're like, oh, go ask that guy. He's in charge. So then I go ask that guy, and he's like, oh, don't ask me. Ask the bar staff, because they're on cleanup. So I go to the bar, and I'm like, well, who's managing the bar staff tonight? And it turns out it was the guy that I originally asked. And he's like, yeah, man, do the pies. So that was cool. My shaving foam seems to have, I don't know, I guess I have old cheap foam, and it wasn't really, I didn't have as much as I thought I did. So I really only had enough for one big pie. And I pied my friend in front of everybody. It was great. He loved it. And then I met another guy who was like, oh, I want to get pied by the clown. So I gave him the remnants of the pie. And yeah, it was such a fun night. After the event, it just sort of turned into a DJ kind of club night thing, which I wasn't super interested in. I was prepared to go and get my bedtime. But of course, at that point in the night, people are drunk. People are, I guess, you know, looking to... I don't know, hook up, I don't know. I did have some fun in the toilet with this pie dude, just fooling around, like, whatever, but that's not really what I'm, you know, looking for or doing ever. But this dude comes up to me and he's like, I have to know about the clown thing. Also, here's a drink. And then that kept happening. And, you know, I'm not one to refuse free drinks, but I was very aware that, like, I can't just keep drinking and drinking. I was getting way too drunk, and I didn't want to be drunk. But people were really into the clown. You go dressed as a clown, and everybody wants to know what that's all about, especially because once it becomes a normal night, people aren't, you know, exclusively in gear. And so, you know, a few people get to make out with the clown and fool around with the clown and touch the clown and get clown makeup on their faces and whatever, and kept plying me with drinks, which meant I had a little boogie, and that was fun, and then I saw myself out. But yeah, it was really, really fun. So, didn't really see myself doing all that. Oh, and then I forgot, you know, there's only one spare key, so I had to wait for Fidget to finish his shift, which, you know, it was like 3:30, and I am not a, like, riposte was my, I went out for the year, I'm done. I stayed out till 5 a.m. I was given a spare key by my friends just because they knew I would want to leave early, and I became determined to stick it out, and I was so ready to leave at so many different points, and, you know, it was fun, I'm glad I did it, but fuck me, I do not need to do that again. I hate hate when the sun's coming up. I have never liked that. It makes me feel so gross. And I just don't like feeling gross anymore. I was never that into clubbing. I just sort of put up with it in my 20s because I thought I had... I'm still in my 20s, fucking hell. In like my early 20s and late teens. I kind of thought I had to. I guess that's why I used to drink a lot and do a lot of drugs, because it got me through the boring, like, slog that is clubbing. And hey, I love to dance, don't get me wrong. I love dancing, but I would rather go out dancing, like, to a dance hall, I don't know, do some kind of specific thing that ends at a reasonable time than go to a sweaty, sticky, dark, dingy, busy club with people who are 79 sheets to the wind, falling all over you, screaming at the top of their lungs to the worst pop music that's been coughed up with a dance track slapped under it. I don't know. It's sweaty. It's lame. Sorry to alienate everybody who likes clubbing. But yeah, that's been my week. I'm now... tonight is locked, and I considered staying, but I'm not going to. I don't have any money right now. I need to focus on finding muggle employment. It was nice to see the ABU boys again, and hopefully maybe I can find some work doing something for them, because I just don't want to take this muggle job, but whatever. I'll do what I have to do to earn some money. And, yeah, it was really nice to just take a break for the week and hang out with my kiddo. I'm very proud of him for, you know, making big steps, getting this new job and moving to Manchester and all these things. So who knows, I might be back up here next week to help him move. I know I said I would never do that again, but I don't mind driving so long as all I'm doing is driving. Only trouble is it's quite the distance, so we'll see. Now I'm heading down to Brighton because I'm going to go have some more clown sex. I'm exhausted. But no, I'm really excited to see my friend Whoopi Nick, have some fart times. I don't think we'll get up too much, honestly. I just want to see him socially and cuddle on the couch and watch Miss Marple or something. But I'm also going down to see Inflatica because he's going to help me with this design for a new jester clown suit that I want to, sex suit that I want to make. And so we'll sort of brainstorm that. And I've got life admin stuff to do, so I'd rather go do the fun things I want to do in Brighton and then do the things I need to do. I still need to get home and edit this episode. So yeah, I'm going to take a break while I focus on driving and rest my voice. I don't know if I'm audibly hungover, but I am feeling it. So see you in a little bit. Hey guys, I'm back. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. It's been really fun to kind of have you in my back pocket, or rather, I guess, sort of have you in my car with me to check in on what's been going on. This has sort of been my mad car diary, but yeah, I don't know. It's been fun. I hope that this was fun to listen to. I really should get an editor to veto my stupid zany ideas, but yeah, this has been nice to just kind of chat to you all, and I hope you're all doing well. I don't address you guys a lot in like a sort of open book, how are you doing kind of way, so how are you doing? Let me know. I love hearing from you. In fact, actually, Pop Arvid and I were talking, and he listens to the pod, and he was saying that his favorite part is actually the beginning where I read out stories. And, you know, it's not about the measure of the story. It's just writing them in and hearing from people, because I know that there are loads... I mean, we all have something to share, and it's very brave to do. And I think there's an element of self-acceptance in it as well. It's like a step towards, okay, in this small way, I've gone, yeah, this is me and this is okay. And I've told these people, you know, I've told my friends. The car is beeping at me, telling me to take a break. The attention assist says take a break. Okay, thank you. What was I saying? Sorry. Yeah, it's nice to sort of like tell these things to your friends here on the pod. Because I love hearing from you, and it's really nice to hear that you also like hearing from each other. Because it really does feel to me like there's a little community out there of just big top listeners who are united by, I don't know, a curiosity or an interest or a feeling of self-weirdness. Or, I don't know what it is, but it's very nice to hear from you. And I mean, hey, I'm taking questions, I'm taking, like, updates, I'm taking little anecdotes, I'm taking everything. Like, if you want to send in something you heard, or something that, like, you would also send in suggestions. If there's something you want to hear more of, or there's a guest that you would love to hear more from, or have back on, or something you would like me to do, or talk about, please, I would love to hear from you in that regard as well. Because I love getting to hear from you guys, and I hope that me talking to myself in the car, talking to the void, is not, like, I hope that it's nice for you to hear, and that it helps, I don't know, that it makes you guys feel connected, because you're who I do this podcast for, you're what's keeping it going, and, you know, when I started this thing, I bummed around Europe for a few months, trying to come up with a concept, and the concept I came up with was the simplest one, which was just, you know, talk to people, listen to their stories, and be interested in what they have to say about their experience, and not worry about how it comes across, or what it sounds like, or if it sounds right or wrong, or any of these stamps that we put on things, and without judgment, and allow the same topics to arise, and hear how people talk about them differently, or the different things that they have to say, you know, that somebody else maybe missed or just wasn't part of their experience. So yeah, I actually think this, I thought this would be more of a, you know, I'm out on the streets taking opinions kind of episode, and maybe kind of touring Manchester and seeing what's up there in the kink scene. And, you know, it kind of just turned into me talking to you guys and checking in and saying, hey, how are you guys doing? I hope everybody has had a good week, and I hope that if you haven't had a good week, or you struggled this week, that listening to this is at least somewhere where you get to not think about that, or where, hey, if you need to vent, feel free to vent. Like, I am so prepared to listen to, or, you know, if you're happy for me to read them out, I would love to read out people just going at the void about something stupid that's happened this week, and, you know, I'd love to hear that, you know, if the pod can help maybe alleviate some of that anger. You know, I'm here to be your uncle, I'm here to be your dad, I'm here to be your agony aunt, so whatever, man, send things in to the clown with the podcast. What was I going to say? I was going to talk about, like, yays for the day. I was going to talk about all kinds of things. Oh, hey, this is cool. I totally forgot. I saw the ABU boys again, and it was really nice to catch up with them. But what was great was learning that you guys are using my promo code. So that's great. Thanks for that, because I'm glad that it helps you out. I'm glad that you're doing it, because that also helps me out. You know, when ABU renewed, my production costs basically have gone up, because the amount of listenership and reach, and just the amount of podcasts being stored on the host site, on Becast, all of that, just, you know, It puts you into another bracket, and everything just costs more money, and using better software and stuff like that. I get to do those things because maybe you are able to sponsor me because, you know, you're using my codes and stuff. So, yeah, thanks for using my promo codes. That's cool. I didn't know what the figures were on that, because I don't get to see that. And so I was basically told, yes, this is all fine, we just have to check your promo code figures. And I was like, okay. But yeah, that's great. When ABU came to me to sponsor, you know, they said they were looking to branch out into, because I said this isn't an ABDL podcast. It's not specific to one community, but I, you know, I've got a foot in that, firmly in that community for sure. And they were like, no, we want to broaden brand awareness. We want to reach out and we want to be more involved in the kink community in general at large. And so we want to help, you know, creators do that, which is really cool. And so sorry to the listeners for whom that promo code maybe isn't so helpful, but, they do have other things, not just nappies. They do have some cool merch and some cool stuff. And hey, I mean, ABDL was apparently the kink world's best kept secret and everybody's secretly, a padded butt. Who knew? So, you know, maybe that's a nice little gift, because diapers are expensive, and maybe you want to use the promo code to get your ABDL friends a little gift. I don't know. Maybe you're a daddy, and you're helping your kiddo out. Who knows? Yeah, I've been very lax. I just passed on Michael Gaydon. Such a child. What was I even saying? I don't know. I've been very lax. That was it. I haven't been hot on my shit. I'm trying to seek an ADHD diagnosis. My very good friend, my little bro, is gonna... We're gonna have like a business meeting where he's gonna try and help me get a bunch of life admin done. That will include, and I'm gonna say this now so that people can get excited about it and poke me so that I have to do it. I have designed a website to store my art portfolio, to have links to all the podcast episodes, to, you know, have maybe a blog one day or something, maybe to put the old articles I wrote for Playtime on there. Some of them, I don't know, or the games I made, something like that. And also, you know, links to hire me for gigs, because, hey, you can hire me for, you know, I love go-go dancing. If you want to hire a clown to hype up a party or to host or to greet people or to strip, I love stripping and making it weird and theatrical. I dance, I lip sync, I, you know, do all sorts. So, hey, I mean, you can also hire me for private sex parties or for whatever. You can hire me for escorting now as well. So anyway, I want to just have a site where all of my stuff is and where it's not going to be taken down, like on Instagram. There's that, and, you know, I haven't been posting on my Just For Fans, and I'm very sorry about that. I cannot believe people are still paying for that, but thank you so much. I this year I really plan to get into porn in a big way. I really want to sort of push to become the premier porn clown. But yeah, I'm trying to seek this diagnosis because I it would just make a lot of sense. And if that's not what it is, then I think there is something definitely to do with executive function and stuff, and attention and hyperactivity. So it's really been a struggle to do anything consistently that isn't immediately a hit. By the way, guys, I don't know if you're a foot person. I'm on Feet Finder. I was posting a lot at a regular basis, and I just wasn't really getting hits. So again, my brain just sort of dropped it off. I will continue that, but you can go and find it. I'm sure it's linked on my Twitter somewhere. I can link it on the show notes for this episode. I don't know if people are into that, because I have massive feet, and I will take pictures of them for you, or do whatever you want, really. I love being a weird performative porn person, so hey, I mean, I'm willing to do a lot of stuff, so just ask, because I love making people's weird kinky dreams come true. I recently did a cool thing that involved detachable limbs, and it was very fun. So you can commission me for, you know, photo manips and audio files and all of that good stuff. But yeah, I haven't been chasing and pursuing new advertisers. Zencaster was really helping me with that, but again, I just, you know, I will get some other goods, and I'm looking more for kink specific, you know, smaller brands to help them out as well as them helping me out, because I want to have promo codes that everybody can use, not just ABDLs using ABU's codes. So That was my long-winded way of saying I'm making a promise to you guys, and I need you to hold me to it, that I'm going to do all this stuff, I'm going to do all these things, I'm going to make it happen this year, I'm going to make some cool clown porn, and hopefully by this time next year, I will have something to show for it, because I'm just really struggling to be a go-getter on my own, and it's very nice that my friend is going to try and help me, but I don't know, if I have to take this muggle job, hopefully I can save some money and like, I don't know, get an assistant to help me do this, or, you know, I can get some medication and seek a diagnosis that might help me just focus and function and get things done at a regular pace. And or maybe I can actually get all these projects underway and find a new job in the community that's, you know, more stable. And I can afford to do all this stuff, hopefully. This is not sponsored, but I used Squarespace, and I designed this site, and then, but you know, of course I never finished it in time, and I just, the way my brain works, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but like, I lose my phone every day, so I now just, I have the sound on it that I can locate it, but I lose my phone at least once a day. I, as a kid, genuinely thought that I was being haunted, because I would put something down, turn away, look back, and it would not be there. And it was mind-boggling. Like, it happened so many times. And I felt like... I guess I was being haunted by myself. Because I guess it's just, like, forgetfulness and like, attention deficit. I don't know. I just, you know... I was always the kid who, like, bounces his legs constantly. And, you know, makes the bench shake, makes the car shake on a flight... People think I'm kicking the chair, and I don't. I'm like, what? I'm just sitting here, you know. So I don't know. I feel like all this stuff would make sense. And I just, my brain does not stop. It is constant. The number of times that I've like walked away from the stove or the oven and just left something, you know, like completely forget what I'm doing, move on to something else, or get ready super early and then wait around and then be like, okay, I guess I should do something else, and then forget and then be late, and I just can never be on time. And I don't know, my mum's the same, my sister's the same, my godmother's the same, and my sister and my godmother now have adult ADHD diagnoses, and every single person I know with ADHD has told me that I have ADHD, so, and a few who don't, so I don't know. We'll see. Of course, I have to actually try and get the diagnosis, and I'm doing, if you're not in the UK, there's a, it's called like a right to choose thing that should hopefully make it easier, but it's just a hassle, and I did the form, and then it's like, great, now send it to your GP, and I'm like, ah, that's a hassle, and so it just hasn't been done, and it's like, oh, the thing that I don't know if I've said, my, you know, I just never did my homework. I never got my homework in on time. Everything was last minute. You know, I couldn't think about it until the last minute. I can't think more than like 5 days in advance. If you ask me something, you know, and I don't write it down, it just, it falls out the brain. And no matter how hard I try, yeah, I'm not taking a break. I'm driving to Brighton. Leave me alone. Yeah, and I just like my A-level coursework. Again, if you're not in this country, it's basically just like the exams you do when you finish school. I guess it's the equivalent of American high school because you're that age, but it's optional because we finish school earlier. We finish school at 16, and then you do your A-levels. Whatever. My A-level coursework for my English A-level, I had top marks in my exams, and my coursework, which also received very good marks. I'm not, like, saying I'm fucking clever with it. I mean, I'm good at English, but, like, you know, I also was lucky I went to a good school, and I, you know, that's a double-edged sword, but, and an issue all, separate issue all unto itself, but, you know, I had everything going for me, and I still ended up with a good grade overall, but I was down, you know, I went from an A to a B because it was over a month late for no reason, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't get myself to start. And, you know, I thought it was like, at the time, I thought it was the pressure of it not being good. And I literally was like sending blank documents, sending corrupted files, sending, I emailed over like an annotated note version once. My teacher knew that this was all bullshit, and I was just, but I lied to everyone about it as well, because I told my mom it was done, because I couldn't take the embarrassment of just having not done. There's no reason. And then I did it in one night, you know, as I do. It's the same, the only written work I had to do when I was at drama school, I did it all in a night. And, you know, okay, I just said, like, I don't want to brag up, you know, say I'm clever. I am clever. Like, and I'm educated, and, you know, that's afforded me a lot of things. And it, one of those things is that I was able to do this. I got 80% in the, you know, whatever. It didn't matter. But, like, most people had been working on that all year, and I did it the night before. And I was up all night doing it, because I just couldn't be bothered to do it, or couldn't get my brain to fucking, like, ever think to do it on my own time. And I really, really credit going to university with helping me do this, because, like, just deal with this stuff, because even though I did a lot of assignments last minute, they had to all be submitted online, and there was a countdown online, and you couldn't submit it after the deadline. And that really helped, because it just meant that it had to be done. And so, like, my dissertation, I think, was the hardest I'd worked on. Like, as in, started conceiving of it in advance for the first time ever. Same with, like, doing the reading. Like, seriously, I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but I never did the reading. And I really should have, because I missed out on a lot. You know, especially at uni, it's like, at this level, you know, no one's going to make me do it if I don't want to. And I love reading. I love plays, and I love books, and I was studying drama and theatre and literature and stuff, and it's just like, why didn't I do the reading ever? Because I could blag it. Like, I would sort of read the back of it, you know, the morning of, and I would always be the first to speak. Because if you're the first to speak, you get to make the most basic, obvious points, and you've been the loudest, and then, you know, then the lecturer is like, okay, well, I'm not going to grill you about it, and they move on to the quiet person, and they're like, did you do the reading? You know, it just, I don't know. I don't like that about myself. I think that's a really negative quality. And I don't think it boils down to laziness, or just also, you know, growing up with very lenient parenting and stuff, because those things are all true, but, like, I don't know. I just can't focus. I used to do, like, extracurricular, like, maths and stuff, because my maths, again, I don't know if I just, there's something about numbers that just doesn't make sense to me. You know, I'm like the opposite of my mum. You know, she's one of those people who loves numbers because there's only one answer, whereas I love creative stuff because I can blag an answer. I can make up my own and argue it. Whereas if I get the answer wrong, I get the answer wrong in maths, and so I can never get my fucking brain around it. I don't know if that's, like, legit dyscalculia, but, like, I don't know. So, like, somebody once was helping me with my maths homework and literally was just like, count on your fingers, mate. And ever since then, I have been unable to not count on my fingers. And, like, basic things, like, it stresses me out, and I just can't. Anyway, but I would put off doing this extracurricular stuff, even though I knew that if I just did it, it wouldn't take that long. But then I get so bored doing it, I wouldn't want to do it. And then I'd be like, oh, now I can't go outside and play because I didn't do it, even though I could have just done it. But my brain would just be like, ugh. I don't know. I don't know if that's ADHD or I'm just a spoiled brat inside that never grew up and is having to learn to be an adult. I don't think so, but I'll let you be the judge of that. So this was ADHD Corner. Welcome to my rant. I was giving you all, like, a nice goodbye, and then I did that. So maybe let's end on a positive. Let's end on another, like, yay. I mean, obvious yay is big yay for Fidget moving to Manchester and getting a new job at the Eagle, and that everybody there is lovely and that he loves it and is having fun. Big yay for getting to go see him and to see all my lovely friends in Manchester that I got to see. I got to see almost everybody, which was lovely. And I got to spend some quality time with friends, so that was lovely. Also wonderful meeting new friends. Great to be in Manchester again. You know, it's kind of the kink hub of the UK, so I really like it there. Big steps going out in clown makeup. I'm just getting really bold with it and not caring. I know that may seem silly to people, but, you know, to me it's so scary. And so I hope that I can be a beacon, an example to all, a shining light, I don't know. Just, you can do it. You can do it too, if you want to, or if you want to work up to it. It is cool. It does feel very empowering and brave to not care, and to not worry about being embarrassed. Yeah, and stoked to go to Brighton this weekend and see more friends, have more fun, work on some cool stuff. Excited for this year. Excited to make porn. Hold me to it, guys, please. I have so much that I want to do, so much that I want to share with you. I want to keep all my promises, and I really want to make it work. So, yeah. I don't want to be lazy and complacent and wonder why I'm struggling to find work. You know, I wanna make it happen. So let's do this thing. Yeah, I guess bye. But like, also thanks for chilling in the car with me. You've made this journey like way more fun for me, at least, sitting here on my own. And I would love to hear all your thoughts and feedback. Oh, and like, rate and review this podcast. Honestly, if you want to tear it to shreds, tear it to shreds. Like, I need the constructive criticism. Your regularly scheduled programming will resume next week, and I am making an effort to make this season a lot more of going out into the field and seeking those more interview-like conversations, because there are so many people that, you know, I want you guys to hear from, and who I want to hear from, who are doing cool things in the community. So not every episode is just going to be personal rambling like this, but yeah, this was really, really fun. Thanks for joining me this week, and join me next week as we go under the big top. Hey guys, Barney here. I just want to take a quick moment to talk about the program that brings the Big Top to life, Zencastr. I use Zencastr for all my recordings, and since taking over the Big Top fully, I have actually tried other systems, but I ended up sticking with Zencastr. It's so easy to use. You don't have to download anything, just log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. It records studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with guests, along with a full suite of professional tools that let you produce and publish all from one dashboard. Being a creator has genuinely never been easier. And I love that I can send a simple link to my guests and we can record over a video call wherever they are in the world. Also, if you're like me and cannot stand the sound of your voice, Zencastr's built-in post-production process makes such a difference. It automatically removes ums and ahs, awkward pauses, reduces background noise, and makes me sound so much better. Plus, the Hobbyist and Creator Plus accounts are always free to use, and their professional accounts are free to try for 14 days, no credit card required. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code BIGTOP, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.